The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a lot that I want to say on Pentecost, and so get ready. I know you guys might be still sleeping, but get ready. This is really an awesome feast. This is one of my favorite feasts. It has been for a long time. One of my favorite feasts in the church year, and it's the feast of the sending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, 10 days ago or 7 days ago, depending on when we celebrate the Ascension, Jesus returned to his Father at his right hand so he returned to his Father's heavenly realm so that he could be present to his Father, but also present to all of us, his followers. And the way that he's present to us is primarily through the sending of the Holy Spirit. He sends his own life, his own love into our hearts so that we can be about the mission that that he's called us to. And part of the reason that I love the feast is for all the different texts and hymns that are associated with it. So we just had, before the gospel, we had what's called the sequence. And this is, if you have an opportunity, look up the Pentecost sequence, Veni Sancti Spiritus, Come Holy Spirit. It's a really beautiful prayer, and it's something that's really worth realizing what God's own life in us is supposed to do. Warm what is frigid, and bend what is rigid, and right what is wrong. I really do love that text, and some of you might be painfully aware that I really like to sing. Father Daniel's painfully aware of it because he lives with me. Imagine living with a guy who just won't shut up. But it's because these are some of my favorite texts to enjoy and to sing because they really talk about what it is to live the Christian life, and so that's enough throat clearing on my part, and let's get to the gospel passage. We have this gospel passage from the 20th chapter of St. John's Gospel, and some of you may come here this morning and think, well, haven't we just heard this recently? Isn't this one of the passages that we hear at Easter? Yes, it is. This is, I forget exactly what week, it might be Divine Mercy Sunday, but we've heard this gospel passage already. We've already heard about Jesus appearing to the disciples and breathing on them and saying to them, "Peace be with you," and commissioning them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." And what's going on here is, first, at the very beginning of the gospel passage, we hear, on the evening of that first day of the week, we're hearing strong references. So all throughout the Gospel of John, there are references back to the act of creation. The very beginning of John's Gospel is, "In the beginning," which are the very same words at the beginning of the book of Genesis when we hear about the story of creation. And when he's talking about the first day of the week, he's emphasizing that God's new creation is coming into existence. And how does Jesus enliven that new creation? He breathes on them. He's recreating humanity through breathing his own spirit, his own life, into humanity. And that's what we're celebrating today. We're celebrating the fact that God, who breathed into the nostrils of man in the beginning when he created Adam, after we had gone astray, after we had veered off course, after we had rebelled against God's just and saving rule, he breathes again into us so that we can be healed from our rebellion against God, that we can be brought back into his rule of justice and holiness, and that we can live our lives totally dedicated to God. He's breathing his own life, his own spirit in us. We can say something like, we hear with, and guys, this is exciting stuff. We hear with some regularity something like, your body is a temple, and this has become a cliche in the contemporary world. But what that means is we are the place where heaven and earth meets. And why is that? For no other reason than God, the God of all the universe, the God who created everything that we see, that created all these different things that are far beyond our comprehension. He has taken notice of us, not collectively, but individually. He has called each and every one of us by name and has called us to be his representatives. You all here represent God. Every one of you represents God. That is your vocation. That is what you're called to. Are you ready for that? I know it's a little bit early in the morning. This is a bit much. But you are called to represent God. You are God's representative here on earth because he has taken up his dwelling within your heart. Because by being called by him, you have been baptized and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And looking to that task, we realize, I think, unless any of you are a little bit more confident than I am, I don't think any of us feel ready for that task. I don't think any of us feel ready to be the people that represent God here on earth. In other words, how is God revealed most fully? Through Jesus of Nazareth, through Jesus Christ. But Jesus has returned to heaven, not to abandon us. He is still filling us with his life and his spirit. But now all the things that Jesus was doing in order to bring God's kingdom of justice and holiness into reality, to establish his kingdom, all of those things that he has done, he has now entrusted to us. We have to do the things that Jesus was doing. We, as the people called by his name, have to be Jesus for all of those around us. And so he entrusts us the task even of forgiveness of sins, even of bringing reconciliation. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. I'm not ready for that mission, and I do it every week, at least, in the box. But it's realizing that I've received God's own life, his own spirit, that I'm able to live in some way, even though I fall short, I'm able to live up to that calling. God is calling us higher. He's calling us to be his representatives on earth. He is calling us to be the people who bring reconciliation, restoration, and healing to humanity. And again, we look at that and we may think something like, well, I'm not really prepared for that. Of course you're not. You're not. On your own, you can't be God. And yet you're called to be divine. You are called to be the people who represent Jesus. And how does he equip us to do that? He comes and dwells within our hearts. He pours out his Holy Spirit. He pours out his own life of love into our hearts. We can't do it on our own. I've tried. I failed a lot. I can't do it on my own. You might want to try on your own. Don't do it on your own. It's gonna go badly. But with the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts, with God's own life of love dwelling within our hearts, we are able to live up to that calling. We are able to be filled with the living God himself. And only because of that, we can be about the work of forgiveness of sins, we can be about the work of reconciliation, we can be about the work of bringing God's new creation into life, Having been breathed into new life ourselves, we can be about that work. And the only way that we can be sustained for that work is by living a life of, and it's going to sound like, well, we've heard this all before, but living a life of prayer and love. Yes, you may have heard it before, but this is the Christian life, prayer and love. We cannot be the people of love, the people that are called to love in every circumstance, in every situation, the people that are love all the way through, all the way to the end. We can't do that. We can't live a life like that unless we're sustained in prayer. Prayer every day. Because if we're not sustained in our connection to Christ Jesus, if we're not sustained in our communion with the Holy Trinity, then we're bound to fail. And so it's ours. First, on this day, celebrating the sending of the Holy Spirit, to ask God for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that He who has given us so abundantly in our baptism is not going to be stingy now, but He's going to continue to pour out His Holy Spirit, breathe His Holy Spirit into us, so that we can walk surrounded by God's love and His truth and His mercy as if we're breathing it in, because we are living in the grace that we've received through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Ask for that fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we can be sustained for the mission, that we can be energized to announce the good news. This is what we are doing as Christians. This is what we're called to. This is good news. We've received the Holy Spirit, and this is on offer to everyone who will accept that Jesus is the true King of the world. And it's ours simply to realize the reality that we've been called to, the life that we've been called to, and to announce the good news that Jesus is King, He's breathing His own life into us, and that He is bringing the world ever more under His just and saving rule. And we, through lives of holiness and justice, lives of prayer and love, not focused on ourselves but focused on serving the other, we're able to bring that new creation into being, and we can be the people filled with God's own Spirit that represent the living God Himself.